Let us just go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We declare and decree this evening that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this evening. There is correction, there is correction, there is correction. There is edification this evening. There is no confusion as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with precision, with and in accuracy. And at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, so we'll just continue in the line in which we started a few weeks ago. Throughout the month of November, we started a series on generosity. And you know, in the real sense, it's kind of a catchy topic. But in the real sense, we are doing proper Bible interpretation, you know, concerning certain practices that, you know, we have grown up learning. And, you know, we said over time that one of the most controversial topics is what we are dealing with just this week into next week, you know, and it's what you call the tithing. You know, and we said something, it is easy to get into error in trying to correct another error. Yeah, you know, that's what we explain in church to be what you call the reactional theology. You know, so because of the too many erroneous things said concerning giving in the church, you know, some people could take it a step further, and which is really going to be extreme, and talk about how the saints should not give again, you know, among saints to the church, you know, and saints should be giving to charity and things like that. Yeah. So in the real sense, we're trying to examine what God's word really says about giving. And we've examined the first fruits. We've seen what the first fruit really is used to teach. And we saw that it was used to teach about the new creation in reference to Christ and things like that. And we said that even if you want in your mind or propose in your heart to give all your salary every month, you know, to the work of ministry and to the work of God, you know, there's entirely nothing wrong in that. You know, but you must understand that it is going as an end in itself. So you don't give all your salary because you think God is now going to owe you. Or it's not that when you give everything you worked for, you believe God is owing you. Yeah. So the saint is called to give, you know, sacrificially and as an end in itself, not a means to an end. So we've examined that over the last 3-4 weeks. And today we're just going into the second part of the most controversial topic about giving, tithing, you know. And, you know, we said something on Sunday that there are quite a number of schools of thoughts to tithing. Some said it's been abolished under the old covenant. Some said it's an old covenant practice. And some say it's a New Testament practice and things like that. But we're just here to examine God's word and see what God's word says concerning the practice in itself. And I believe you are with your Bibles, and I admonish that you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18. You know, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that word their power is the word authority. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I established that when Jesus was, or when this statement was being made, or at the time when Jesus, or so to say, what Matthew summarized in 3 verses actually took Jesus 40 days to explain. You can cross-check Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. You know, so when he says that Jesus came and spake, it doesn't mean that Jesus appeared from the blues and started saying, or just said something few, or few words, as you can see in those 3 verses. A real good read of that would be, and Jesus came and kept speaking, or in the 40 days teaching of Jesus, the summary of what he was teaching is, or was, all power, that is authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we've come to understand that in the entire Bible, the only portion of scriptures where you have the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is in the book of Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, where you just read. Yeah. So in the real sense, what we have is the name of the Son. So when you say baptizing them, it will mean indoctrinating them into the responsibility or into the work of the Son. So in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son is equal to the name of the Holy Ghost, which is really equal to the name of the Son upon account, or the reputation of the Son. Yeah, what is that work? The work of resurrection, the redemption that we have by faith. He now says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. You know, and Luke gives another narrative similar to this, but gives us another dimension we could look at it through. Look at Luke 24, verse 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 24. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Yeah. So Jesus told them, O fools and slow. So he called them fools. Yeah. Explained the state of their heart or their mind at the time. Yeah. Because they were slow of heart to believe. Really. Because there was unbelief found in their hearts. What were they to believe? They were to believe all that the prophet had spoken. What is the summary of what the prophet spoke? Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Yeah, so Christ was to suffer and to enter into his glory. So see what Jesus used or did to correct the slowness or the slow nature of their heart, which is really unbelief. And beginning at Moses, yeah, when you see beginning at Moses, it means beginning at the writings of Moses, that is the book of Genesis, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus picked Genesis. He explained himself from Genesis. He picked Exodus. He explained himself from Exodus. He picked Malachi. He explained himself from Malachi. Yeah, Malachi is the scripture where everybody's mind goes to when we talk about tithing. Yeah, Malachi 3, which is what we're going to explain. You know, so he picked Malachi and explained himself from Malachi. He picked Joel and explained himself from Joel. He picked prophet Isaiah and explained himself from prophet Isaiah. So he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now look at verse 44 of the same chapter. Look at Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you. Really, this is the message I speak unto you while I was yet with you. What is it? That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. That was their law, is the writings of Moses. So, which were written in the writings of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. So, it means that the words, that is the message Jesus preached before his crucifixion, was equal to the message he preached upon resurrection. And they were both equal to the message of Moses, the prophet, and the psalmists. What did he do again? Verse 45. Then open he their understanding. That word there, open, means to open for the very first time. So he went to the book of Malachi and opened for the very first time their understanding. The word their understanding there is the word mindset. So that they might understand the scriptures. The second word understand there is the word that means to put together bits and portion or to synchronize. Yeah, so that it then he opened for the very first time. So if we're going to write it in God's Palace version, it would be then opened he their understanding for the very first time, or then opened their mindset for the very first time that they might be able to synchronize the scriptures. Yeah, what were they synchronizing? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, up until Malachi. So Jesus Christ is the singular thread that connects Genesis to Malachi. How did he try to explain that to them? Verse 27, yeah. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Yeah, so it means that in reading Moses, you have to read it correctly so you can see what Moses really wrote about. Yeah, in fact, hold your hands there and go to John chapter 5. Look at John's Gospel chapter 5, verse 39. John's Gospel chapter 5, verse 39. Always remember, at the time Jesus was doing teaching seminar for his disciples, all they had as their Bible was Genesis to Malachi. Never forget that. Yeah, today you have Genesis to Revelations as a whole Bible, having the unexplained and the explained. Yeah, but at the time Jesus was teaching, at the time the apostles were teaching, what they had as their Bible was Genesis to Malachi. So look at John chapter 5, verse 39. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. It says, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. Yet ye search the scriptures, that is, you diligently look through scriptures, but actually in them you think you have eternal life. But the truth is that they are they which testify of me. Look at verse 46. Look at verse 45 first. Look at verse 45. Look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. Yeah? There is one that accuseth, even Moses in whom you trust. Even Moses in whom you trust. There is one that accuseth, even Moses in whom you trust, in the real sense. Yeah? Look at verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So in believing Moses, you have to believe Jesus, because Moses wrote of Jesus. So the things that Jesus was explaining from the scriptures were inclusive of the writings of Moses and that of the prophets. Yeah, the prophets, at the time they were prophets, what they had as their scriptures were the writings of Moses. So, if you believe Moses, so remember we said, we always say in Gospelers, Moses is a fundamental writer in Bible interpretation or in the writings of the Bible, of the books of the Bible. Jesus, apostles, and co. all quoted Moses. So, Jesus tells you, had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. What is Jesus saying? Yet, in the stories that you see Moses present to you, if you believe the stories he's writing, yet in the real sense, you should believe me, for the stories he was writing, they were things concerning me. You remember verse 39, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. So, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. Never forget that verse in your entire Bible study. Yeah, in your entire Bible study, it is a verse to always reckon with. For had ye believed Moses, you would believe me, because that will help you explain Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Yeah, remember, so it means that in Moses' writings, he was writing about Christ. Did Moses know about Christ? Yes. In fact, hold your hands, go to Hebrews. Moses knew about Christ and wrote about Christ. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11, 24. Moses knew about Christ and wrote about Christ. Hebrews 11, verse 24. See what it says there? It says, but by faith, Moses, when he was come of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. So Moses knew about Christ. He knew about the reproach and sufferings of Christ, and he esteemed it greater riches than the treasures in Egypt his physical eyes could see at the time. So, esteeming the reproach of Christ, as he considered the reproach of Christ as greater riches. So, riches to God is seen in the reproach of Christ. Riches to God is seen in the resurrection of Christ. I'll say that one more time. Riches to God is seen in the resurrection of Christ, in the man found in Christ and Christ in him. Hallelujah. So, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So, his physical eyes could see physical treasures found in Egypt at his time. But he looked forward by faith to see the reproach of Christ and exalted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why did Moses write the way he wrote? You know, I've met people over time ask me questions. Why is the Bible so common? Why is it that? Why can't I just read the Bible straight, you know, and the way it is? Yeah, you will see Exodus chapter 32 verse 9. You see that the people that Moses was pastoring, they were stiff-necked people. Who were those? Those who were stubborn. Those who lived in perpetual unbelief. Hallelujah. So, in the real sense, dear saints, when we examine scriptures, it's not a plain time. It's not a time to play. It's not a time to gloss over scriptures. It's not a time to pick one verse and preach everything. No. We are to explain scriptures using scriptures. Yeah, we are called. In fact, hold your hands. Go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Look at Paul's second letter to Bishop Timothy. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Paul tells Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved. Yeah, what it really means is study to show thyself as one who is approved unto God, as one who is approved by God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. What does that mean? It means a toiler, a laborer that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at that again. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, its disposition of a minister of the gospel is to rightly divide the word of truth. Yeah, to rightly divide. So, it means there's a right way to divide the word of truth. And there's a wrong way. Look at it again. It says study. That word there, study, means to be diligent, as used in 2 Timothy 4:9. Yeah, do thy diligence to come unto me. So be diligent to show thyself as one who is approved, a workman, that is a laborer, that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, a set time approaches, a set time that will last a while, a set time that will last for decades. Oh, what a great year ahead! A year of greater works by His Spirit, leading into greater years ahead. For in the immediate year ahead, we would pambos for corpore puto in safar par in kandavo shukote pearl. Yeah, we would see the physical and tangible manifestation of things prayed for. We would see the manifestation of the things we yet pray for. Dear sin, it is time to roll up your sleeves. Roll up those sleeves and get to work. Serious work, for that is business. Yes, proper toiling for the Father. Yeah, proper toiling for the Father. Yes, proper laboring for the Father. For there is a mighty field of men waiting to be harvested into God's light. Do well not to get too excited and give up on the work still yet ahead to be done. It is the time to labor and labor hard. Yet it is the time to give yourself to labor. Roll up those sleeves. Give yourself to labor. And pray for us to keep never in the number. So yeah, leaning on God's grace and ability in you. Oh, there is strength made available to you by God's Spirit. Strength, 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 strength. Oh, poke upon the voice, keep a rap in the is a proper of a so yeah, so you do well by strengthening men who life's activities would bring your way. You do well to strengthen men who the activities of life will bring your way. For you are a disciple called to be a discipler. You are one called to do the work of the Father. So you strengthen yourself in the place of the word. You strengthen yourself in the place of the word. Then you by strengthening others. You strengthen yourself in the place of prayer and do same to others. And you will pros in the da in the proko to in the yeah. And you will through prayer, teaching, preaching of the gospel and the practice of the things of the Spirit edify the body. Don't look around you trying to explain the things that might not be happening or the things that seem to almost happen. Oh yes, there seems to be fear on the horizon. There seems to be great darkness upon the face of the deep. But no, yes, no. Pause in the fall, keep a cough on the puff in the pradada in the voice of King above. Don't give into trepidation and fear, for there is light in you. You are born of light. There is light in you. You are full of light. Pause the fall, keep on the navo so pure in the navo copper canter progoda for sandaha. So many uncertainties might present itself in the years ahead. Oh yes, but you know what? In the immediate year ahead, so many uncertainties might come your way. But you know what you do? You will give yourself to the things that matter. Yes, there are things that matter to the saints. There are things that matter to the saints. The ministry of the word, the ministry of prayer, and the ministry of the spirit. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there for long. Stay there for long. Dwell there for long. Yes, in your secret place of prayer, add a little more fire to the already burning fire. Add a little more fire to that fire which burns already. Add a little more velocity on that throttle. For yes, there are men who are to be harvested. Yes, yes, God wants men to be saved. There are men who are to be brought into God's field, God's land, God's own city, the congregation of the new creation. Opposition will remain constant. Opposition from men you least expect. Even men that you expect, yes, opposition will remain constant. But you know what? You continue, you stay there, you remain focused. For the word of God is not bound. Oh yes, the word of God is not bound. Yet there are greater works that will be wrought through your hands in the coming year. Yeah, the great year ahead comes with great work ahead. Yeah, the light is shining and men will herald the gospel through the cities, through the nations, through the villages, for these opportunities will arise. Oh yes, keep at it. Keep the fire burning, for this in itself is victory. And there's a victorious life that we have always. There is always light at the end of that tunnel. Yet you will see men who you didn't think would come into the light in the year 2021. Yet keep your eyes on it. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes fixed. Remain focused, for yes, God is with you. There's an assurance that God is with you forever and ever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, yeah, where were we? We're in 2 Timothy 2:15. We were just in 2 Timothy 2:15. Yeah, he says, study to show thyself. See, I would admonish you, you know, I would get that utterance ready as soon as possible. And I admonish that you take our time to listen and listen and listen over again. Yeah, for in that utterance, we have instructions for the year ahead. See, Paul says, study to show thyself as one who is approved of God. A laborer, yes, a laborer that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Yeah, so it means that we will need to go back to Genesis to rightly divide Genesis. Take note, in the book of Genesis, the name Jesus is not mentioned. The name Christ is not mentioned. But what Jesus tells you, if you believe Moses' writings, you believe me, for he wrote of me. That's tricky. That's tricky. That's tricky. Yet the name Jesus is not mentioned in Genesis. The name Jesus is not mentioned anywhere from Genesis to Malachi. In fact, the closest of the name of Jesus we have is in Isaiah. But Jesus is saying, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for Moses wrote of me. For Moses wrote of me. For Moses wrote of me. Hallelujah. So, remember we established something on Sunday. We looked at some scriptures where the tithing instructions were given, and we saw Deuteronomy 14:23. Let's quickly run there. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God's word prevails in the land. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Look at Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Yeah, so look at it again. In the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Look at it again. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, of the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. We saw on Sunday that fearing the Lord thy God always means to show honor or to show reverence. Yeah, so the reason for the tithing was for honor. The reason for the tithing was for worship. Remember we saw on Sunday that Melchizedek collected, or Abraham gave 10% to Melchizedek. Yeah, he gave it to man, but he gave it to honor God. We saw that on Sunday. You might want to lay your hands on part one. Yeah, so now look at it very well. Is the reason sustainable today? It has to be. Think about it. The reason the tithe was given was that thou mayest learn to reverence the Lord thy God always. So in referencing God and showing honor to God, you are giving for the needs of men to be met. Are we together? Yeah, so look at it. Remember we looked at it on Sunday. The how seems unsustainable because we saw on Sunday that they gave some yearly, they gave some every 3 years. Yeah, really it was because of the harvest. Yeah, the harvest was usually yearly and things like that. If you look at it properly, the frequency looks unsustainable. Yeah, because it has to do with harvest. Yeah, so we might not be able to sustain the when or what they were giving, but we can sustain the why. What is the why? Honor to God, reference to God. So they were to give their tithe in honor to God, but for others. Are we together? Yeah. So the most important thing is the reason behind. You see, one of the reasons why we are dealing with this topic at this crucial point in time is that a lot of people don't know the reason why they give. Yeah. The truth is that a lot of people give into their fears. That's why you realize when the truth of God's word is taught concerning tithing, first fruit, and offering in general, people tend to reduce their giving. Yeah, in the real sense, it is because they have never given generously. They always gave into their fear. Yeah, a man would come in front of them and tell them that if you don't give your tithe, God will not protect the 90. If you don't give your tithe, there is devourer coming. Yeah, but those things are not true. They are not true. There are Christians who give their 10%, their 20%, or 50%, and use the rest of their income on their health. That is devourer. What is devourer? That thing which takes your money or that takes from you unexpectedly or you didn't plan for. Are we together? Are we together? Or without your permission? Yeah. So the basis of the tithing was never for blessing. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, saints, find it in a place in your heart to believe. You don't give tithe to be blessed. No, no, no. We saw it on Sunday carefully in our part one of this series, of this particular topic, tithing. We saw that Moses was very wealthy. He had plenty, he was wealthy and very rich in cattle, rich in silver, rich in gold. Moses then took 318 men he had trained in his house to go and rescue Lot from the hands of the enemies. And for a man to have 318 men under him that he's feeding and training, he's not a poor man. So Moses, very rich in cattle, very rich in silver, very rich in gold, and very rich in human being. Yeah, find a place you have to believe that. So he was rich in cattle, rich in human being, rich in silver, rich in gold. Then he went and fought a battle, defeated kings, and took their spoils. After taking their spoils and their goods, he still took their people, their women and the people. Hallelujah. Then he met Melchizedek on his way. Yeah. Having met Melchizedek, Melchizedek blessed him. What does it mean? Spoke well. Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine and did what? Blessed him. When we look at that on Sunday from Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 7, a priest is one taken from amongst men to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So who was Melchizedek? A man taken from amongst men. Yeah, people say that Melchizedek did not have father, did not have mother. That's a figure of speech. There is no way Melchizedek did not have father and mother. A priest is one taken from amongst men. A man and woman gave birth to Melchizedek. If Melchizedek did not have father and mother, he's greater than Jesus, because Jesus had to come by a woman. Are we together? Yeah. So the basis of the tithe was never for blessing. The first mention of tithing in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham was very rich. He went to fight a battle, defeated kings, took his brother, took their goods, the goods of the kingdom he defeated, and he met Melchizedek, who ministered to him as regarding sin. Then he gave a tithe. Yeah, what we usually see is we read it backwards. So we see Abraham gave a tithe, Melchizedek blessed him by speaking blessings over him, then he went and fought battle, then he became rich. No. You don't get rich by giving tithe. You don't get rich by giving money. You don't get rich by giving generally. Yeah, you see, except you've not given generously. Yeah, you realize that when you go, it leaves your pocket. Yeah, but what do we do in our day and time? We try to say, oh, where we give to God, and God owes us. No. It's not taught in scriptures. So the basis of the tithe was never for blessings. It was not for the other tribes who were not, remember, we saw something on Sunday. So the basis was not for tithing, rather for blessing, and it was not for the other tribes. Remember on Sunday, we saw that the 11 tribes gave to the Levites who were priests. Yeah, Moses wasn't using tithing for those tribes who were given to the priests to be blessed. Think about it. They gave to the priest as an end in itself. They didn't give to the priest, yeah, to the Levite, as a seed of faith. Yeah, you know what it's called? That thing you call seed of faith. Yeah, it's not taught in scriptures. Yeah, it's a fallacious teaching. Yeah, I sow a seed of faith because I want to connect to God. No. It's not taught in scriptures. Yeah, you have so many people who tell you that their seed sowing works. They are not telling you the full gist. If it works and works always, if you have 500 naira today and you sow as a seed, and tomorrow somebody gives you 100,000 naira, it's sure for you that it works. Sow the 100,000 and get 1,000,000. It doesn't work that way. Or people get rich by the work of their hands. You don't get wealthy by giving. The tribes that gave to the Levites were not given to be blessed. No, it was Moses' way of teaching about a supply. Remember John 5:46. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. So Moses used tithe to teach about a supply that God will do, or a blessing that God will do in the land. So we've seen that Abraham was blessed, well spoken of, then he gave. Jacob said, if you give me, if I get, I will give. Jacob did not say, the little I have, I'm giving it back to God so he can multiply. No. God is not in the business of multiplying all those things. It's MMM. That's a Ponzi scheme structure. Money is only found on earth, in the pockets of people, in the accounts of people. Yeah, these are truths that you are rather hold on to, yeah, that will help you or save you from depression sooner or later. Yeah, before you see, a lot of us who hold on to this false hope usually end up in depression. In fact, most of us, because we begin to wait on the things God never promised us, and we wait, and a lot of times we wait forever. Yeah, the poverty ratio or the poverty rate in the country Nigeria shouldn't be that way if tithing as a principle works. Are we together? So, nobody, you don't see Abraham gave to be blessed. No, he gave just willingly. God did not request for it. We saw that. Never forget, the reason was to honor God. Nobody required it. Now, Moses gave it. It wasn't required by God or by Melchizedek. Melchizedek did not require it from Abraham. Abraham gave it willingly. If you read your Bible very well, you will see that there's no mention of faith. So Abraham did not give it by faith. Abraham was very rich in human beings, in cattle, in gold, and in silver. He didn't say, Melchizedek, you know you're a priest. I give you by faith, for I know God will do great. No. That is not a biblical teaching. Are we together? In as much as it is practiced by so many, it doesn't make it right. Remember, I will say something. That you have results doesn't make it right. Yeah, the easiest way to get money anywhere in the world is by corruption. That you practice corruption and have results, yeah, doesn't mean that it is right. Yeah, results don't validate the things that we are to teach as Christians. No. Else, our mentors, everybody that is listening right now, including me, our mentors should be Yahoo guys because they have the results. So Abraham gave as an act of worship. No mention of faith in Genesis 14. He wasn't doing it to expect anything. No, no, no. Abraham gave to Melchizedek as an end in itself. Same as Jacob gave as an end in itself. So we saw on Sunday that the giving of tithe preceded the giving of the law. But Moses, however, maintained and sustained the giving of tithe in the law for the needs of certain people to be met. Yeah, I'll say this again. The tithing from Genesis was never required by anyone, including God. God didn't require or request for the tithes or the offerings that Abraham gave. In fact, hold your hands. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah. You see, we said something. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. In fact, the offerings that were given was used as a teaching aid to communicate God's offering in Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 verse 10. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 verse 10. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Look at verse 11. To what purpose? Hear the word of the Lord, verse 10, right? Hear the word of the Lord, right? Verse 10. Look at verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Say the Lord. Yeah, that's an utterance from Isaiah. I am full of burnt offerings of rams, of fat or fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. God didn't request the blood of animals from the people. Moses used the sacrificing of animals and the blood of animals to teach about the blood of Christ. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. So when you come to appear before me, verse 12, who had required this at your hand? God did not ask them for those things. Who had required it from your hand to tread my courts? Look at verse 13. Warning, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. Incense is an abomination unto me. Look at it again. It says, incense is an abomination unto me. There are new moons that I Sabbath, the coin of assemblies. I cannot away with. So when you see Sabbath day, Moses used Sabbath day to teach about the rest found in Christ. If you have believed Moses, you would have believed me. When you see Moses say on the seventh day God rested, no, it is a man that is to rest in the work of God in Christ Jesus. Moses used a lot of these things to teach God's redemptive plan. Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses knew about Christ. John 5, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. Look at verse 14. Your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul hated. So nobody sent them for new moons, except one who say the Bible is a contradictory book. But it isn't. The only contradiction that is found in the Bible is found in a heart who hasn't holistically visited the Bible. Yeah, the contradictions you find in the Bible are found in the heart of unbelief. Yeah, when I mean unbelief, you can be a Christian and still have a slant of unbelief in your heart. That was the truth. Yeah, there is a lens by which we read Genesis to Revelation and we see and behold Christ and Him alone. So Moses used new moons, appointed feast. So you see, and your appointed feast, my soul hated. Appointed feast includes the Passover feast, the feast of the unleavened bread, what we call Holy Communion today. God didn't send anybody to break bread and share wine. Nope. You can only get to such conclusion when you hastily read scriptures. Yeah, we've done a full series on communion table. Yeah, you might lay your hands on that. They are trouble unto me. The only reason why they were doing Passover and all those things was because of the slant of their hearts. Look at verse 15. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you make my... See, we are reading Isaiah. Isaiah is an Old Testament book. So you can use the Old Testament book to explain other Old Testament books. Simple. So you should be able to explain Genesis from Isaiah, Isaiah from Genesis, Ezekiel from Isaiah, Isaiah from Ezekiel. Look at it. See, if I had read Ephesians, you can say, oh, this is a new covenant. No, this is under Isaiah. Jesus had not come at this time. He is giving an utterance concerning those sacrifices. See what verse 15 says. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Figure of speech. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. See the warning in verse 16. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. What are the evil of your doings? From verse 11 to verse 15. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Verse 17. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. That was the reason for the tithing, for the offerings. We saw that on Sunday. The reason for the tithing and the offering was for the widows, the fatherless, the Levites. So, what is God saying? As an utterance through Isaiah, Instead of wasting your time shedding animals, what do? Share those animals and seek judgment for the oppressed. Those that cannot eat, give it to them to eat. Don't waste animal. Don't waste burnt offering. Look at verse 12, verse 11, verse 18, sorry, verse 18. He now says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. So leave all those evil things and come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you see, that is the end goal. So Moses used offerings, sacrifices, feast, blood of bullock to teach about what? Though your sins be as scarlet. So Moses, because of the hardness of their heart, used things they were used to or used to in their day and time to explain what God will do through Christ Jesus. What is the summary of scriptures? That God's redemptive plan for sin is made manifest in Christ Jesus. So, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Look at it. Only if, verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What is the good of the land? It tells you in verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, what does that mean? If you believe, you shall eat the good of the land. So one who has believed the gospel has eaten the good of the land. Whew, are we together? So, the tithing wasn't required by God or anyone. It was given in honor to God, but to men. In the law, when it was asked for, Deuteronomy 14:23 shows us the reason was that ye mayest fear the Lord thy God to honor God. So, if, look at it this way. So, if honoring God and worshiping God is a practice of the New Testament, then we have something to learn from the practice of giving in the Old Testament books. Simple. If I hold your hand there, go to Romans. Go to Romans 15:4. Oh, glory to God. I've eaten the good of the land. That is what I've received of God's spirit, the bread of life. I've eaten the bread of life, the bread of heaven. I've eaten God's bread. Yeah, that daily bread has been supplied. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, what does that mean? Give unto us sufficient bread. I've eaten of that bread. That is the good of God's land. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Look at Romans 15 verse 4. Romans 15 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Whatever was written aforetime, what's that? Genesis to Malachi. They were written for our learning. So it means that when we read Deuteronomy and see their practice of tithe, there is something to be learned, or there's something we're supposed to learn from it. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, 14:23 rather. Deuteronomy 14 verse 23. Let's see what it says again. The things that were written before time, aforetime, were written for our learning. Look at Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name. The tithe of the corn, of the wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of their herds and of their flocks, that thou mayest learn to honor God. Now, what does it mean to honor God? Yeah, what does it mean to honor? You know, honor generally just simply means treating something with reverence. Or treating someone in reference or in respect to his office or according to his office or position. I can't really remember what I just said, but I think I'll just try to say it again. Honor means to treat one with reference or with regard or in accordance to one's office or one's position. So, what does that mean? Abraham brought out the substance to say, "Dear God, I honor thee." That is the why. The why he gave to Melchizedek was to honor God. Remember, when Abraham gave that to Melchizedek, God did not send any angel, yeah, that has wings in our minds to come and pick the tithe from the earth. No. Tithes were given by men to men for other men. In the real sense, they were given by men to men for other men, but in honor to God. So if the why can be sustained, then we have lessons to learn. What is the why? In honor to God, in reverence to God. So a lot of times when people get to ask questions about tithing, the reason they're asking questions about tithing and giving generally is because of their stingy hearts. Pastor, all this pastor say, all these fake pastors, it's just to be collecting people's money. Yeah, no, you have always not wanted to give, but you were giving because they told you devourer will come, but now you have understood small devourer, that there's no devourer because you are in Christ. Yeah, what you now begin to do? To the new creation tithe, we're not under the law, we're under grace. There are certain things that the New Testament teaches. The New Testament is very loud on giving. However, giving with a generous heart and not giving with a restricted percentage. Say that one more time. The New Testament books are very loud on giving. Yeah, whether you are poor or rich, New Testament book teaches to give. Yeah, in fact, go there, run there quickly. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. So, Paul is talking about a particular grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What is the grace of God really about? Some would have thought grace of God for them to prosper in business. No. Look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundant, look at it, great trial of affliction. So there's nothing like, because they are Christians, they will not go through trials. A life without Christ will be full of Christ. No, you can be in Christ and you are expected to even have crisis. Except they're not standing for the truth of God's word. Yeah. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they are bounded unto the riches of their liberality. So there is something called the riches of liberality that has been received upon resurrection. Yeah. That is the ability to give and give generously. The churches in Macedonia were in deep poverty. What is Paul doing? Paul is using their generous activity and generous lifestyle to teach a Corinthian church that is most likely richer than the churches of Macedonia. Yeah, the Macedonians were in deep poverty. Paul did not say they're in deep poverty. Yeah, all you people, don't mind those people in Macedonia. They're in deep poverty. Their lives are tight because they don't pay their tithe. No, that's nonsense. Yeah, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Paul did not acknowledge why they were in deep poverty. Why? Because Paul knows that poverty is man-made. Yeah, God doesn't use poverty to punish people. Poverty is as a result of the economic activities of men on the earth. Yeah, the same thing with riches. Riches is, material riches is not God-made, it is man-made. Find in a place in your heart to believe that. Nobody gets rich by being a Christian. Yeah? See, their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record. Yeah, and beyond their power. So I know they were in deep poverty. But I can bear record of their power and ability. They were willing of themselves. So they gave generously in their deep poverty. That means your salary can be 1,000 naira and you can still give sacrificially. You have an example in the Bible. Yeah? Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty. That means they were even begging. They were in deep poverty. They were begging. Why were they begging? Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of ministry of saints to the saints. So they were begging. Look at it. Paul was receiving gifts from the church in deep poverty to give to other saints. Are we together? The people that were in deep poverty, they were begging Paul so that Paul can communicate the little they have to other saints who don't have. They were not giving Paul so Paul will lay his hands on them and bless them. No, it's a funny, ridiculous thing we do as a church today. Yeah, you come and lay, I have the anointing for wealth. I come and lay their hands. How come you lay hands on 500 people? Only one has a so-called testimony. That means there is a lot they are not telling you. Nobody gets rich by laying of hands. Nobody gets rich by giving. They were not giving Paul so that they can restore, all that the enemy stole from you. No. Paul acknowledges to the Corinthian church that they were in deep poverty. So you can be a Christian and be in deep poverty. You know, this is what some people will not like to hear because they would rather go to a place where they hear things like, oh, yeah, you can make it. There's a break. No, nobody's saying you cannot make it. I'm just trying to say what the word says. You can be a church, a pastor. You can serve God for 50 years and remain poor. We have evidences all around us in the country Nigeria. So they were poor, they gave generously, they were still begging. They were begging with much entreaty that they should receive their gifts. Are we together? Look at what Paul now wanted to do. Look at verse 5. And this they did. You know, this is scripture that leads to he became poor that we might be rich. Christ did not become poor so that he can be materially rich. No, it's fallacy. It's fallacy. The poverty of, okay, where did he have money? There was no poor in Jesus' life on earth that you saw him with money. So what is his poverty? He became poor. He who knew no sin was made sin. That he might become the righteousness of God. That's God's riches. Are we together? So this is scripture that leads to that portion. But see something we're going to learn from there. We're not going to that today. We're going to that next week. Yeah, but see something in verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped. So we didn't expect it from them. Churches of Macedonia, deep poverty. Yet they are begging to give. That means no matter how much you have, you can give. But first they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. See what he now says in verse 6. in so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. What is the grace? Verse 1. Verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberty. That's the grace of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, that is the supply of the Spirit. Yeah. So in the real sense, the grace of the Lord is not seen in amassing wealth. You know, we live in a very interesting day and time where somebody goes to work, he makes a contract, he earns a living, they ask him, what did you make? He says the grace of God. No, tell us something more. Yet we see the grace of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as an ability to give even in great trial and in deep poverty. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Yet they abounded even in their deep poverty unto the riches of their liberality. Together. So when you have people ask questions like, what should I give? Should I get out to go and give charity? Bill Gates, no. Bill Gates is not rich because he gives charity. Don't get it twisted. You don't get rich by giving to the poor. No, you give to the poor, give to the church as an end in itself. Now remember, who said something. It did not start under the law. It started before the law in Exodus. It started in Genesis, but was sustained in the law. Are we together? Now look at Leviticus 27. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. So in the New Testament, we are not told a percentage to give, but we are told a manner of giving. In your deep poverty and great trial of affliction, you have the grace of God in you that is to be able to give. Yeah, one who is rich to God is one who can fold his hand, close his eyes, and then in himself give by the grace of God in you. Every Christian has received the grace of the riches of God's liberality. Hallelujah. Yeah, the only reason why people want to give to expect is the covetousness in the hearts of people. Look at Leviticus 27, verse 30. Look at it. And all the tithes in the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is only of the Lord. Moses' way of teaching. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in the Mount Sinai. Dear saints, who gave the law? Was it God or Moses? Moses knew about Christ, but because of the hardness of the hearts of the people, they didn't believe what Moses preached about Christ. Then Moses began to use what? The laws and the commandments to teach them what God will have them believe. Are we together? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. See it again. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. See it again. And the Levite, because he had no part nor inheritance, Sunday's teaching, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gate, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied. So the tithe was to be eaten, and that eating must bring satisfaction. The thing that we eat today is the body of Jesus, the bread of heaven. So Moses used the eating of the tithe to teach about what? The satisfaction that we are to get upon believing the gospel. Hallelujah. So the giver, both the giver and those that are receiving, we all sit together and eat and be satisfied. Remember, if you have believed Moses, you would have believed me. So what did Moses teach about? He used tithes to teach about what? Eternal bread. Look at John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. What does that mean? Figurative, for he that eateth me. How do you eat? By believing the gospel. He tells you, he that cometh unto me shall never hunger. That is, he that believeth to me shall never thirst. So, the way they were eating the tithe was a way of Moses communicating the truth about the satisfaction of the eternal bread we would eat. Look at Matthew 6. Yeah, Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at Matthew 6, 9. Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom has come, thy will is done in earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day our daily bread. That's sufficient bread. Are we together? Let's take a little look at Cain and Abel. Remember in this teaching, we've established that what? God's message has been the same from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. God's message of let there be light is a light of the glorious gospel. Yeah, we saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, verse 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts, lest the light of the glorious gospel, that is the image of God, glorious gospel of Christ, that is the image of God, should shine. Are we together? Now, from Genesis chapter 1, from the beginning of time, God's message has been the same. It never changed. So God's message did not change because they were under the law. No, Moses changed the message to them because of the hardness of their hearts. So let there be light is what? Figurative for the gospel. Are we together? So in the real sense, what did Adam do? So when you say Adam ate a fruit, it means that he rejected something. That means there was a message preached to him that he rejected. We've done a teaching on that. Mark chapter 7, where Jesus says that, don't you know, are you without sense? Don't you know that what you eat doesn't go to your heart, but to your stomach? That what defiles a man is what comes out. Now, so Adam covered his body with animal skin. Right? So Adam probably practiced propitiation and substitution. The same message of Adam, he preached to his children, Cain and Abel. Yeah? What is different between Cain and Abel? Cain came with his works, he came with money, came with hard work, came with substance. But what happened to Abel? Difference. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11 verse 1. Look at Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. You know, that scripture is not saying faith is now. No, that wasn't what it was teaching about. Yeah, now the faith of those people is the substance. He was teaching about people. He was teaching about people. Look at it again. So faith is the substance of things they hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Now look at verse 3 carefully. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Take note of verse 4. By faith. So, you know, a lot of people say that Cain wasn't accepted because of his attitude. Did he have a good attitude? No. That's not really true. Yeah, look at this. Hebrews 11:4 shows you, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In the real sense, Abel believed the gospel. The use of animals was an expression of the slant of his heart. Let me say it again. The gospel is God selling there be light, the light of redemption. That means God in man, that is God will become a man and die for the sins of men and live amongst men and resurrect as a man. Are we together? In the real sense, Abel believed the gospel, but the use of animals was an expression of the slant of his heart. It's the same thing with what? Abraham. What made Abraham, you know, righteous by faith is not because he believed he would get Isaac. No. Believing for Isaac was an expression of the slant of his heart, which is believing the gospel. Are we together? So look at it again. By faith, Abel, verse 4, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So what made him righteous? The offering, in the real sense, believing. The offering of the excellent sacrifice was an expression of the slant of his heart. Look at it. So God testifying of his gifts, you see that? And by it, he being dead yet spake. Are we together? Let's quickly talk something in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. You know, you hear people say things like, Enoch did not die. Enoch translated, he did not die. Look at it. You read verse 8, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Keep reading. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham. By verse 9. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land. Verse 10. For he took for a city, he looked forward to a city who had his foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11. Faith. Say that. Verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one. Verse 13. These all died in faith. These all died in faith, including in Enoch. He didn't say excluding Enoch. These all, including Enoch, Abraham, Sarah, died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they believed the gospel. They believed the gospel. Abraham, Enoch walked with God and he was not. I think, no. They all died in faith. Yes, where we are. We're back to verse 4. Yeah. What did Abel offered. Look at it again. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, not a more excellent attitude. You see that? A more excellent sacrifice. So this offering of sacrifice was an expression of the state of his heart. Hallelujah. So Abel brought a sin offering. He was called the righteousness of God because he came by the blood. He came by the blood, by faith. In the real sense, by believing the gospel, the blood of animals was an expression of the slant of his heart. So what did Abel offer? He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, blood. So the blood of Abel is typical to the blood of the animal he brought. It's not his own physical blood. So when you say the blood of Abel speaketh better, it is just the typical of the blood of the animal that Abel brought. So the blood of Jesus is what we have. Are we together? The blood of Jesus is what we have. So what speaks for us is the blood of Jesus. What did Cain want to do? Cain wanted to allow his tithe. Yeah, inverted comma. Cain was trying to allow his tithe speak for him. You know, you hear all those things where people say, yeah, if you are going through challenge, just go back on your knees in your secret place and tell God, God, I'm a tither. God, I'm a tither. You promise, who promised you? No. It's wrong Bible interpretation. I promise you. You can pay your tithe successfully and end up poor and die poor. We have millions of people who are like that, who have been and shall always be. You know, the things we say, you know, it is well. Yeah, so you don't give. So Cain tried to bring and tithe. You know, God, I call my tithe, my works, my money. I want to give. What did Abel do? An expression of his heart was a provision he gave, offering blood. So we don't get justified by our things we bring. Okay, go to Luke. Look at Luke 18. Look at Luke chapter 18. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Look at it again. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. What is the end of the parable? That men ought always to pray and not faint. Keep reading. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain of them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Who is that? Cain. So you can say, he spoke unto them this parable, unto certain of them which had the attitude of Cain, or the mindset of Cain, that trusted in themselves and their works. That's God's Palace version, Luke 18, verse 9. Look at verse 10, he now gives a parable. He now says, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. See what the Pharisee said in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. They are extortioners. They are unjust. They are adulterers. Even the publicans. Me, I'm fasting 2 times a week. Yes, that's me. Yeah. I give my tithe of all that I possess. That's me. You see, what did Jesus say? That is the Pharisee. Yeah. What did he say in verse 9? He spoke this parable unto certain of them which trusted in themselves. I give my tithe. Yeah. And when life is not going well, remind God you are tithe. No, that's a fallacious thing. Yeah. If you like, remind God, don't remind God. If you don't do what you should do, you will end up where you are. You know what? Yeah. You don't give your tithe to remind God to do anything. No. God doesn't bless because you give. No. God gives because he's a generous giver. We saw that on Sunday. Now look at verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me, I'm a sinner. See Jesus in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. So the Pharisees are one or those who want to always present their works. Yeah, God, you know, I earn 100,000. I always give you 10. I must not go broke. My car must not be stolen because I give my tithe. No. That's not taught in scriptures. It's not taught in scriptures. My car cannot have accident because I give my... No, it is not taught in scriptures. God supplies provision, protection, whatever he supplies, because he is good all by himself. Are we together? Yeah, their sins, don't be like the Pharisees who tries to print out a CV and give to God. No. What did the publican do? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So, you don't get justified by your works. You don't get justified by faith. Cain tried to attain justification by his works. What did Abel do? He brought sacrifice. Are we together? So, look at Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. Yeah? Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. So, you don't have peace with God through your tithes. You don't have peace with God through your sacrificial giving. Are you to give sacrificially? See, a saint who doesn't give sacrificially is living a life of disobedience to scriptures. Let me say it again. A saint who doesn't give, a saint who doesn't give sacrificially or generously as an end in itself is giving or is living a life of disobedience to scriptures. Yeah, you don't get peace or have peace with God through your tithes, through your offerings of first fruit. Therefore, being justified by faith and faith alone, we have peace with God. Yeah, we have reconciliation with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how did Abel by faith become justified? He believed in the gospel. Yeah, he held on to the promise of God. Yeah, on account he was persuaded by the promise of God. And that was expressed in his what? Disposition in man or to man. Same thing. What God Noah, enter Hebrews 11, is not because he built ark. No, the building of the ark was an expression of the slant of his heart. If the ark was what was to save Noah eternally, Noah should not have died. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 tells you, they all died. So people say this, and your offering will speak for you. No. Christ's blood, the work of Christ speaks for us continually. If I go to Hebrews 7:25, No, see, you are to give and give generously and give as an end in itself. Whatever name you really call it, yeah, you are to give sacrificially as seen as demonstrated by God in Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son sacrificially, generously. You see that? That's the example we have. Look at Hebrews 7 verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. It is not your works that speaks for you. What makes intercession for us is the blood of Jesus. Yeah, so remember, that intercession means that, remember, when you say he maketh intercession for us, he's not saying that he's kneeling down begging God with one. No. Intercession for us is made in the fact that he liveth forever. Look at it again. Seeing he ever liveth, making intercession for us. Are we together? So your offering money cannot speak for you, dear saints. Yeah, there's nothing like, because I'm consistent in my offering and my tithe. Now, should you be consistent with your offering and giving and tithing? Yes, you must. You see, in the next 2 weeks, we'll learn certain things. Yeah, to show that you honor God, when you are paid or giving any money, the first thing that should come to your mind is God. That's the truth. Yeah, if God doesn't come to your mind first, you are a covetous person. You are a stingy person trying to express yourself using under disguise of sound doctrine. To know that your heart is with God, yeah, you give generously to the things of God. Look at, so your offering money cannot speak for you. So that we tell you that your money doesn't speak for you, does in fact should foster your generous and loving giving. So when you hear people say, my offering speaks for me, you know, that's the category of Cain, the category of the Pharisees, who try to attain justification by their works, trying to show their works or their money. No. Giving is not a means to attain justification. Romans 5. Therefore, we have been justified by faith, and we are now at peace by and through the work of our Lord and Savior. So the basis of the tithe was never to be blessed. Abraham was wealthy, he was blessed, well spoken of, then he gave tithes. Remember that word blessed, to be congratulated or to be welcomed into. Jacob said, if you give me, I will give you. Wise man. What you do in a day and time is, I have 10,000 naira in my account. I empty all my 10,000 naira in my account because I know I will get 20 million tomorrow. No, it doesn't work. Can you have 10,000 naira in your account and give everything to God one day? Yes, you can, if you are that generous. Which you should be that generous, sacrificially. But when you give all your empty your account, I share the testimony anyways. So the people of Israel were to give their tithe after the harvest, not to get more harvest. Hello. So for every year they gave their tithe, they were not expecting next year to be greater than this year because they gave their tithe. No. It's a false teaching. Yeah, you see, I understand the fact that a lot of us as pastors might be under pressure to make sure we allow or say things that will make people to give. Yeah, but the truth is that your conscience will and should judge you. Are we together? Your conscience should and will judge you. Yet there needs to be made, there are things to be done. So there's a tendency for you as a pastor to coerce people of their wealth and promise them things God never and would never promise. Yeah, for the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. That means the promises that God had been giving from Genesis 1 is fulfilled. Yeah, yea and amen means done and actualized and fulfilled in Christ. The promises of God in 2 Corinthians is not car. No. I mean, this is December. A lot of us, the promises are going to buy our houses this year. Oh, well, I mean, there's a teaching we're going to give right now. Yeah, the God of suddenly. The God of suddenly that takes 7 days to change. Forget all that grammar. See, can you have 1,000 people and one person will come with a so-called testimony like that? Yes. The same way you have that, there's one who is an atheist who has better than what you just shared. Hallelujah. So the reason they gave was in honor and in reverence to God. The people of Israel were given as a tithe, were given their 10% to cater for what? The widows, the orphans, the fatherless, the geese, the Levites, and so on and so forth. So the why wasn't so that God would bless them. No. The why was to honor and to reverence God. Hallelujah. Never forget, Abraham didn't give by faith to receive something. No. He didn't use it as a point of contact. Dear saints, that thing called, you see some people teaching God's word. Pick one envelope and put one inside and come and touch the offering, the altar to connect. You're not connecting to anything. You can't connect like that. Yeah, we saw an example in Acts. Yeah, when Simon the sorcerer saw that hands were laid on people and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what did he do? He gave money to the apostle. What did the apostle do? Your money perishes with you. Yet we need more men that will do that. Hallelujah. So Abraham didn't do it by faith to connect. It's not that you don't, not there's just like point of contact. Yeah, connect as a point of contact. No. Jacob said when he gets something tangible, he will give. So the reason, the why of the tithe was sustained in the law, which was to honor God. In honoring God, in referencing God, you are supplying needs to those who have needs, or supplying the needs of those who have needs amongst the brethren. All together. Let's close up here. You know, Sunday we're going to explain Malachi 3, that popular scripture. Malachi 3 verse 8. In fact, let's go to Malachi 3. We're going to continue there on Sunday. But let me give you a tip. Yeah, look at Malachi 3:8. Let's just touch it a little. Yeah, just to give you a teaser ahead of Sunday teaching. Yeah, Malachi 3 verse 8. Look at Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, all trans by Malachi. Look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Where did tithe initiate from? Moses' writings. Where is Malachi? When Malachi was Malachi, what was his Bible? His Bible was Moses' writings. So bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that they will meet in my house. Does that look like daily bread? Sufficient bread? Bread of heaven. Look at it again. And prove me now here which saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven. Yeah. And pour you out a blessing. A particular blessing. What is the blessing that comes out from the window of heaven? It is the blessing and the blessedness and the gift of Jesus Christ. So when you see that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, yeah, endless love of God, yeah, overwhelming love, yeah, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, yeah. So when you begin to read, so in fact, okay, hold your thoughts there. Go to chapter two, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Are we together? So Malachi was quoting a particular group of people that have deviated from the ordinances initiated by Moses in Moses' writings. Dear saints, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I trust you've learned a couple of things here and there.